Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before the sermon starts, I have to ask you this question. What do you say the week after Easter? What's left to be said? Nothing except Christ is risen. It's as true today as it was a week ago. Our sermon title this morning is A Strange Kind of Happiness. Based on the gospel reading we just finished, especially verse 20, where the text says, Jesus said to them, Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. In many churches, it used to be a matter of long discussion. People had strong opinions on both sides of the issue. The issue? Whether to have a crucifix hanging over the altar or a cross. Those in favor of having an empty cross said that we are an Easter people, that Jesus is risen and we should focus upon that as our source of joy and not keep dwelling on his suffering and death. Those in favor of a crucifix, a cross with Jesus' body still on it, argue that Christ crucified is the very foundation of all that we believe. Without the crucifixion of Jesus and his defeat of sin, death, and the devil, Easter joy would really not be authentic joy. Well, which side of the issue do you find yourself on? Cross or crucifix? I must confess today, I personally am more of a crucifix man than a cross man. This is not just a personal preference, it's a matter, as we'll see in today's sermon, of doctrine and theology. Suffice it to say for now, when you and I look over our altar here and see an artist's rendition of a crucifix with Jesus' body on that cross, for me, that is a source of joy and happiness. To this you may reply, well, that's a strange kind of happiness. And that is precisely the title of today's sermon. A Strange Kind of Happiness. We'll talk about this strange kind of happiness that we can all have based on what happened to Jesus upon that cross. Today, as you well know, is the famous, or perhaps better, infamous Sunday after Easter. It's the dreaded Sunday of Sundays for all preachers. What do you say when you said it all last week? The huge and festive Easter crowd has been transformed into more of a typical Sunday. Yet the biblical accounts of Jesus' resurrection still continue in our lessons. And even though many people are C and E church folks, only here at Christmas and Easter, the accounts of Jesus' resurrection are some of the most well-known by all people. In each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances all show a fourfold pattern. It's on your outline this morning. First, there is fear and sorrow due to Jesus' death. Secondly, this is followed by joy over an encounter with the risen Jesus. Third, next comes a confession of faith by one who met the risen Lord. And fourth and finally, that person is asked, that person is commissioned by Jesus to be a witness of his resurrection. Fear, joy, faith, and witness. We see this pattern when Mary Magdalene meets the resurrected Jesus at the tomb, first thinking that he's the gardener. We see this pattern when Jesus meets the unnamed disciples on the road to Emmaus. We see this pattern when Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. We see this pattern when Jesus appears to Thomas in the same upper room 8 days later. Our gospel reading for today. Now, while the gospel reading for today conforms to this pattern, John gives us a peculiar insight into what happened there. The disciples were in the upper room. They were afraid. Jesus appeared in their midst and spoke to them, of course, in Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Now, John doesn't record any reaction from the disciples at this point. It's only after, are you with me? It's only after they see the crucifixion wounds on Jesus' hands, feet, and side that they express their joy. Verse 20 says, Then Jesus showed them his hand and his side. And then the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, reading further in today's gospel chapter, St. John tells the account of Thomas. Thomas was not there in the upper room when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples. We may assume that Thomas was grieving over his master's death. And he wanted to be alone in his grief. But when he did rejoin the others, Jesus came again. It's as if he made a special trip just for Thomas. This should be a special word of encouragement for any of us here today with doubts or fears or unbelief. Jesus made a special trip just for Thomas. But along with his sorrows and doubts, Thomas was unbelieving. And Jesus appeared to him in that same upper room where he appeared to the disciples 8 days earlier. And Jesus spoke to Thomas the same greeting he spoke to those disciples 8 days earlier. Shalom Aleichem. Say that with me. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. And after Jesus showed Thomas his crucifixion wounds, Thomas' sorrows and doubt and unbelief changed to faith and real joy. Listen to Thomas's confession of faith and joy as he says in verse 28, My Lord and my God. On a side note, besides being a wonderful confession of faith and joy, Thomas's confession is a superb statement of doctrine and theology. Because the entire theme of the Gospel of John is this. The entire theme is the answer to this question. Who is this Jesus? Here in Thomas's confession, we have the high point of John's entire Gospel. In answer to the question, who is Jesus? Thomas tells us, Jesus is our Lord and our God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is Almighty God come to earth in human flesh to be our Savior, dying on the cross, but rising from the tomb to give us victory over sin and death and devil forever. Now, when both the other disciples and then Thomas saw the crucifixion wounds of the risen Jesus, the text says they had joy. They had a strange kind of happiness. Now we might expect seeing the wounds of Jesus would fill those men with shame. Shame as they considered the horror of what happened to him on the cross. We might expect that seeing the wounds of Jesus would fill them of bitter memories of their own betrayal and denial and abandonment of Jesus when he needed them the most. Why would St. John record that when the disciples saw his crucifixion wounds, they were filled with a strange kind of happiness? You see, The crucifixion wounds were not the only things the disciples saw and experienced on that day. As they looked into the crucifixion wounds, Jesus said to them, "Shalom aleichem, peace be with you," words of reconciliation. His presence told them that He was alive, not dead, and that He had come back to them. And He had made a second trip to Thomas because He loved them so much. Jesus' wounds for them were His clear and wonderful expression of His love for His disciples, of His love for you, of His love for me. Biographers of Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation of the Church in the 1500s, tell of Luther one day kneeling in a sacristy before a crucifix. All alone at the altar on the stone floor, Luther cried out as he looked up, "For me! You did that for me." The crucifixion wounds of Jesus were for Luther a dramatic demonstration of how much his Lord loved him. These wounds brought Luther also a strange kind of holy happiness. In a small way, this experience, but ever more the abundant testimony of Holy Scripture of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, has made our Lutheran Church a church that without embarrassment or shame or apology focuses upon what Jesus did upon that rugged cross of Calvary. My friends, this is so important. It's becoming ever more important today. So in so many people around us, and sad to say, even so many churches around us, are denying the cross and what Jesus did there. For now, just one of many Bible passages will do. From St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom," St. Paul says, "and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And Paul concludes, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the very foundation of the Christian faith. And that is why it is the very foundation of all that we are about as Trinity Lutheran Church. And let me tell you, about 3 years ago, when Beverly and I first flew out here to meet with the Board of Elders to prayerfully consider the call to this congregation, when I walked inside this holy place and saw that crucifix there, it spoke volumes. This congregation is built on the foundation of Christ crucified, yes, and risen again. And that's why almost every Sunday, and I've already done it, but here we go again. Almost in every sermon, I turn your eyes and point to our Lord upon the cross, the very foundation of what we're all about. As it was true for the disciples in the upper room, as it was true for Martin Luther, and it's true for us today, Jesus' crucifixion wounds are for us a source of a strange kind of holy happiness. How many of you have ever been to the Holy Land? A couple of us. Walked where Jesus walked. Now, I have not. Many pastors, of course, have. One pastor used to talk about his trip to the Holy Land and what happened to him when he was at the site of Calvary where Jesus was crucified. He was overwhelmed by a sense of God's holy presence. And this pastor looked up and he prayed these words, "Lord, if you did this for me, you shouldn't have. I'm not worth it. Then I quote, the pastor explained, "Deep in my mind and heart, I know that God then spoke to me. In response to my 'I'm not worth it,' he said to my heart, 'But you are worth it to me, Norman.'" The pastor said it was the most powerful experience of God's love he'd experienced in his ministry and changed his ministry permanently. As it was true for the disciples in the upper room, as it was true for Thomas 8 days later, as it was true for Martin Luther, as it was true for a pastor named Norman, it is true for you and me today. The one who knows us better than we know ourselves, the one who is aware of every betrayal, every denial, every failure and sin in our lives, nevertheless comes to us today and says to us this day, "Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you." As the great hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote in his most beautiful hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," listen to these words. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to my God. See, from his head, from his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." This then expresses Isaac Watts' own strange kind of happiness. And I pray that it expresses yours as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.